today, tomorrow, or any day. Well, I'll put this thing on later, okay? Okay, I want to come to the Lord in prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, I come here, Father God, representing you, and I pray that every word and every thought that comes from me, Lord God, is from you and nothing else. We just rebuke any kind of spirit that would come and try to interrupt this service, Lord God, try to interrupt what you're trying to do in this place. Father God, I ask you to prepare the hearts, the minds, and the ears of your people, Lord God, right now to hear this message that you have prepared for your children, Lord. We thank you and we praise you and we give you glory. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. I want to tag on to what Brother Angelo was saying about making mistakes. You know, we're all family. So if you want to make a mistake, make a mistake in front of your family. You know, and I'll tell you, when you make a mistake, it's a relief because it's like, oh gosh, I made a mistake. Okay, now let's go on. And because you're so nervous and afraid that you're going to make a mistake. And so when you do make that mistake, it's a relief. I want to recognize tonight Chaplain Paul Northcutt and his wife Blossom. They are just amazing people, and I love them so much. Chaplain Northcutt, I liken him to Jesus with skin on. And I know he's shaking his head no. He don't like to be recognized and everything, but I want to give a little testimony about him and what he and his son do. His son is he's the senior chaplain, and his son is the assistant chaplain, and they do marvelous things. Do I have something wrong here? Thank you. That feels better. And he sends out a letter every year at the end of the year, and he gives a financial report about what the ministry has been doing, and he'll give a testimony about something, and this really touched my heart. There was a homeless man, and he approached Chaplain and needed a place to stay. Well, he couldn't find a place for him to stay. He had no place for him to stay. So he and his son went and got a tent and set him up out in the woods so that he would have a dry place to sleep. But that is just one of the many things that he does in the community out there. And I just want to thank him for coming out here to support me and thank him for being here. And I just love them so much. They are a real blessing. Well, my message today was not one that I had planned. When all of this stuff happened at the first of the year with Pastor Kelly and Frank, it was just something that was so upsetting and disturbing to us because we really love them and know. And when you hurt my pastor, you hurt me. And so she's preached a message about forgiveness and on January the 1st. And that was what my plan was. And how many of you know that our plan is not God's plan? So she preached that message, and that was what my plan was forgiveness. My next message was going to be about forgiveness. And I had it all studied out and prepared. And then we were in worship, and that night, Sunday night, and Pastor Kelly did a great job about forgiveness, and I was praying, Lord, forgiveness? And then he spoke right to me and said, Jezebel. Has anybody heard about the Jezebel spirit? So the Lord told me to speak about the Jezebel spirit. And I said, why me, Lord? Why don't you pick Brother Angelo? He's got more experience about all this stuff. Or Pastor Kelly. Come on, even our brother Sam could speak about that. And he chose me. So we're going to talk about the Jezebel spirit today and what it's doing today in our world. It is, remember, it is a spirit. And there are many spirits around, and all of the spirits that are out there, the demons and stuff that are coming against us, there's different types, and they attack in different ways. And Jezebel, Paul was watching a Western the other day, and there was a woman there, and a man was trying to seduce her, and she was, she says, "Well, I'm not a Jezebel." I was like, "Oh, well, Lord, here we go. Even they talked about Jezebels back then, huh?" So our first scripture that we're going to go to today is 1 Kings 16, 29, and 23. I don't know, has anybody ever studied the Kings? I had to study the Kings, and they are terrible. And if you look at them today, if you look at our leaders today, we see them. I mean, this is a perfect example of what is happening today. So 1 Kings 16, 29, and 33. Where am I here? Ahab. So my point today is Jezebel's spirit, but there's also, along with the Jezebel spirit, there is an Ahab spirit. And Ahab was Jezebel's husband, and he was a king of Israel. So, 29, Ahab, son of Omri, I don't know why they didn't have normal names like George and Sam and Paul, but Ahab, son of Omri, began to rule over Israel in the 38th year of King Asa's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 22 years, but Ahab did what was evil in the Lord's sight, even more than any of the kings before him. And as though it were not enough to live like Jeroboam, Jeroboam is another king way back who did evil. And anyway, he married Jezebel, the daughter of King Ethbaal of the Sidonians, and he began to worship Baal, whatever you, however you say it. First, he built a temple and an altar for Baal in Samaria. Then he set up an Asherah pole. He did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than any of the other kings of Israel before him. So he did more to arouse the anger of God than any of the other kings before him. We're going to look at some of the other kings. In 1526, Nabab was the king, Nabab. But he did what was evil in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his father and continued the sin of idolatry that Jeroboam had led Israel to. Then we had King Baasha. But he did what was evil in the Lord's sight and followed the example of Jeroboam, continuing the sin of idolatry that Jeroboam had led to Israel to commit. Then we had Zamari. It was delivered because Baasha had done what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, I'm setting up here to let you see that each king there from the beginning, and then the next king, and the next king, and the next king, all did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. But Ahab, it says here that Ahab was the worst. He did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than any other of the kings of Israel before him. Now we've got to remember that Ahab is a spirit, and it goes along with the Jezebel spirit. But that is one thing that's terrible, but we've got to learn, we've got to know that God takes the things that are bad, the worst things and the worst of the worst, and turns them around and makes them good and uses them for his good. Jezebel was one of the most evil women in the Bible. I kind of think, has anybody ever heard of anybody named Jezebel today? Nobody names their daughters Jezebel. We name them Mary. We name them Rebecca. We name them Ruth. We name them all of these women of the Bible. But I've never heard one called Jezebel, and I hope I never do. Her name even gives me creep. So what happened was Israel, all of these kings had married pagan women who brought their pagan gods into Israel. And it caused the Israelites to take their eyes off of God and his worship, and they started worshiping Baal. They started worshiping other idols. They started worshiping the Asherah poles. I loved your song. It said about the idols, because that just fit right in. That was a setup for my message here about worshiping idols. No one was more determined than Jezebel to take their sight and their, to take Israel's sight off of God. Her name in Revelation 2:20 is a symbol for great evil. Her name is a symbol for great evil. Okay, now we're talking about Jezebel right now, but we're going to talk right now about a spirit. The spirit. It's a demonic spirit, and it comes to lead us into idolatry and fear. Idolatry. We don't worship Asherah poles today, but we have modern idols that we worship today. And a few of those modern hanging on to things, material things, things that we really don't need. I have some friends that thought they could go into business with raising chickens. And so they bought all the equipment, and they had their setup. They had their chicken houses. They had everything, and it failed. So when they depleted their stuff and started moving all their stuff out of the chicken houses, they brought it home, and they put it all into their, she said there, it's in the hallway, so she won't let nobody come to her house because all this chicken equipment is in their house, and they're just bombarded with it. She said it's all laying down the hallways and everything, and she asked her husband, well, what are we going to do with this stuff? He said, well, you can't replace it. It's been 20 years. Why are you hanging on to this? Fear that you cannot replace it. Fear to let it go. That spirit has a hold of them. It's an idolatry that they're hanging on to. Why can't they let it go and sell it and bless somebody else? Maybe God has a purpose for that equipment to help somebody else prosper, to help somebody else in their business. Another, is it okay if I walk on toes? Okay. The altar of pride. Now we think of pride as people going, yeah, I'm the best. I do this and I do that. But you know, there's other forms of pride. It is something that we want to satisfy our own egos with. And there's the obsession now with work. People who work and they sacrifice their families, their homes, everything so that that job becomes more important to gain more materials. They say, I'm doing it for you. No, you're not. You're doing it for you so that you can look good, and it's for your pride. It's pride that you're doing it for. It's not for them. Think of doing it. I want my labors to be successful in the eyes of the Lord. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 2:21-23. I want the labors to be, my labors, to be successful in the eyes of the Lord. So he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Ecclesiastes 2:21-23. I'm starting 20. So I turned in despair from hard work. It was not the answer to my search for satisfaction in life. For though I do my work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, I must leave everything I gain to people who haven't worked to earn it. This is not only foolish, but highly unfair. So I think about all of this work that we do here on this earth to try to build up something that is not, we're not going to carry it with us. I have not seen a luggage rack on a hearse or a trailer. We're not going to take it with us. You're going to leave it here. You're going to work so hard, you're going to leave it here for somebody else to use, somebody else to waste, maybe even lose or whatever. And that's idolatry. That's pride. And God gave me this message so that we could open up our eyes and see what we are doing today, brothers and sisters. God wants you to know that there's other things that we need to quit being distracted and taken away from what God has for us. We will labor for the Lord. I just love our church because of our ministries, the servanthood of our ministry. Oh, I love going and doing the Monday deliveries. I get to talk to the people. I get to pray with them. I get to ask them, you know, how's your family? How are you doing? And just get to chit-chat with them, get to know them. It is so much fun. And in return, I get to hand them a meal. Praise God. I want to hear my Lord, my Master say, well done, good and faithful servant. There's another one that really disturbs me. Idolized through naturalism and the power of science to preserve this earth and what's in it. We cling to the illusion that we are gods and that we can imitate God and produce things on this earth that only God created. Well, I was substituting at Lamar High School for quite a few years. And they had a girl there that was called a freezer baby. And she seemed pretty normal. But what she was dad's sperm, mom's egg, put into a dish, put into the freezer, and waited until they were ready to have her. She did come out normal, but that's taking the place of God. That's not how God created us. That's not how he procreated life. He created a system for it. Another one, and I don't know, this is how I feel. This is the opinion of Jill, and it may be heresy. But another teacher, a friend of mine from Lamar, her and her husband have been trying so hard to have a baby. They wanted a baby so bad. So they did the dish thing, But they did it right away. They didn't freeze the baby. And they have a beautiful little baby boy right now. But that's not how God intended it. But you know what? I look around and I see how many of these children, especially in foster care, Paul and I did foster care for a little while, that need homes, that need people that love them. But instead, we've got the idolatry of having our own baby, the pride of our own baby, which is okay, but let's let God do it his way. They're rejecting God. I'm sorry, I have a thing in my mouth because I've got this awful cold that everybody else has. So that's not how God created the earth. I also think of another thing is how they're preserving the space shuttle. You know what? We're not going there. They're preserving the space shuttle so that when this earth is destroyed, we have a place to go. When we can't survive on this earth anymore, there we go. We can go there. I don't know where I am here. Oh, 2 Peter 3:10. I'm going to start at 11. Since everything around us is going to melt away, what holy, godly lives you should be living. You should look forward to the day and hurry it along, the day when God will set the heavens on fire and eliminate, will melt away with flames. Oh, element. The fire and element will melt away the flames. But we are looking forward. We are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. He has promised a world where everyone is right with God. You know, when I get kind of overwhelmed and everything, does anybody do meditation and imagery? I love to do that. And I imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. And I think of places in heaven where I can go and sit and relax and be with the Lord and have peace and the worship, the angels, and oh gosh, it's just going to be so beautiful. I can't wait. But this is what we're looking for. We're looking forward to what is the future. We are looking forward to what is with God. The Jezebel spirit produces fear. We know as we look around right now at our economy, I mean, it's pretty bad. My stepdaughter, Paul's daughter, put a thing on Facebook. I haven't been on Facebook because I'm on a 21-day fast, and I tried to fast food, but I have diabetes, and my sugar dropped, and I got real weak and almost went into one of those sleeping modes where you don't wake up. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to fast food, but what can I fast? And so he told me Facebook, because that was something I spent a lot of time on, where I could be spending the time in the world, in the Word. I don't want to be in the world. I want to be in the Word. So anyway, that's what we've been doing. It's because we got to get our eyes off of what is around us, because what is around us is nothing spiritual, is nothing about God. It's all about fear. If you listen to the news, I was talking with Frank the other day, and he said that he don't even listen to the news because there's no good news. Do you ever hear anything positive? Do you ever hear anything uplifting? If you think about the scripture that says, think on these things, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is godly. Those are the things that we're supposed to be thinking on. But if we're feeding our mind with that evil spirit that's taking us away and making us idolize and work and fear with what was going on right now. AIDS. Oh my gosh. I heard Sister Sherry say that she bought eggs and she was walking with them very, very carefully. I don't blame her, because we can't afford to lose one. But that, and my daughter was talking about the cost of hamburger, and she was going to make spaghetti, and she says, well, I've never tried this before, but sausage is cheaper, so we're going to make it with sausage. So, you know, God gives us creative ideas. But, you know, when we go to the store and we go to buy those eggs, we have to praise and thank God, our Jehovah Jireh, who provides for us. Not look at the economy and, oh my gosh, it's just going downhill and it's just going to get worse. No, God's going to provide for us, and we're going to have eggs for breakfast. Amen? So as long as we're letting that spirit, that Jezebel spirit, that's going to lead us away to idolatry and worry and fear, we're not going to get anywhere. How about the gas prices? Oh my gosh. My biggest concern, I guess I would say, if I was to have a concern about provision, would be water, because I drink a lot of water. And if anybody knows me, they know that I am Guatemala. I'm Guatemala. People look at me and say Guatemala, because that's where I go and I serve the Lord in Guatemala. And sad to say, this year I'm not going to get to go. I'm going to go to my grandson's graduation. I can't believe I'm that old that I would have a grandson that's graduating. Anyway, praise God I got to live that long. Anyway, so I'm not going to go to Guatemala this year. But, you know, what they did over there, I was just talking with Paul about it. You know, we've gone over there and we've taken a village that was just the poorest of the poor. We haven't done it. God has done it through us. And the poorest of the poor, and has turned it around. And the people there, the water, you can't drink the water. It's so bad. And they've had people, because when we go on medical mission. And the doctor had seen a little baby when we were there. And then when he went back, the baby had died. And it was because of the water. So they made a water system. And they pump the water, and it goes through the pipes, and it goes through a filtration system, and they have the UV lights that it goes through, and it fills up the tanks. And they have these 5-gallon jugs, and they get 3 gallons a week. Can you imagine only having 3 gallons of water a week? This is what they use to wash their dishes in. They wash their clothes in the creek, but that would be terrible if that's what happened with us with the water. But I know my God will make sure that we have water and we will have safe water. And Guatemala is getting the safe water. So every Jezebel spirit has an Ahab spirit. We want to think about what Ahab is. Ahab was wicked. More wicked, more evil than any of the other kings. But what is he? He is submissive to Jezebel. Whatever Jezebel says, whatever Jezebel wants, Jezebel gets. And so Ahab has to submit to him. So what has happened to us? We have taken on an Ahab spirit. We are getting submissive to hearing what the news has to say. We're getting submissive to hear what's going on in the world. And we have to shake off that spirit. We have to rebuke that spirit. And we have to get it out of us. Get it out of our church. Get it out of our homes. Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. 12:2. Let's go up to 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Ahab, we strip you off right now in the name of Jesus Christ, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. This is the key verse. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, who our faith depends from the start to the finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew was coming. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus because he is the author of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. And so by looking at the things that are around us and being influenced by the things of this world, we are not keeping our eyes on the Lord. We're not keeping our eyes on him and the things that are happening with him. There's a book that I read. You know, if we're going to read the news, we should read what's going on preparing Jesus for Jesus' return. I read a magazine that's called Zion's Fire. Has anybody ever heard of it? It is an awesome magazine. It's by David Rosenthal, who has gone on to be with the Lord, but he's a Messianic Jew. And he keeps track of everything that's going on in the world that points to the return of our Lord. I don't know if anybody has realized what's going on over in the East, that the oil, you know, our president has cut off all of our oil production. So what's happened, about 20 years ago, Israel discovered oil, natural gas, natural on their land. And they built pipes going underground, and it was actually supplying to us. But since he cut that off, we no longer have that supply. And I was reading this article, and the scriptures point to that. It's prophetic that these things were going to happen. So let's shake off that spirit. Get rid of it. Get rid of all idolatry. Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. All idolatry. And let's look to the author and the perfecter of our faith, who is the soon coming King, who will be here shortly. What I wanted to do is I wanted to set my bed so it faced east, so that when the skies parted and Jesus came, and maybe I would be sleeping, that would be the first thing I see. I could jump up out of my bed and go meet him. And you know what? It's getting closer and closer, church. You don't realize how close it is. But I keep my eyes on what's going on over there. This article says that everything's going to go to Turkey, and Turkey's going to be the one that going to be the major distributor of all the energies. I was reading something else, not in here, but something else saying that Elon Musk was the Antichrist. Boy, people are really getting scared because they're seeing what's going on. So I want to encourage you to shake off that Ahab spirit, reject that as a Jezebel spirit, and look to to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Can I share one more thing? I didn't ask you beforehand, because you know that I'm a Guatemalan what do you call it? I don't know, any missionary. I go there a lot. And if you get out a dollar and you look at it, and our dollars have a letter on them, and we get the, as our family does, and a few of our other friends and family, what we do is we save these J dollars, and we give them to the missions, because this J stands for Jesus, and this dollar takes Jesus to the mission field. So I encourage you to save your J dollars and give them to the mission, because it'll help them. It'll help them build their houses and get their water. And right now with our mission in Guatemala, we're looking forward to expanding the school. So isn't that great? Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. Well, I always love hearing from Miss Jill. Does anybody need anything else before we dismiss this evening? Did you hear that, Mother?
Yes.
Pray for Miss Heidi.
Father, I just pray for Heidi right now, Father. It's Satan who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And, Father, I speak to her spirit, Father. Father, that she hears from you, Father, in her spirit. And she knows that you love her, Father. And that you are wanting to heal her of that hurt, Father. Minister to her wherever she's at. You know exactly where she's at, what she's doing. Close her ears to the lies of Satan in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, y'all stand to your